The Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Gemara in Masechta Tzachim, the first Mishnah, writes a halacha. Or la arba osr beit kines hachometz la or aner. On the eve of the 14th of Nisan, Pesach is on the eve of the 15th of Nisan. On the eve of the 14th of Nisan, beit kines hachometz, we search for the chometz la or aner, or the light of the candle. Gemara and Avdalid. Gemara asks the question. Michdi Bainler of Yehuda Bainler of Meir, Chometzeno Osa Elam Ishei Shoals of the Malo. Everyone agrees that there's no prohibition of eating Chometz until, according to the Torah, noon the next day, which is Erev Pesach. The rabbis made a harchoka, they made a decree to keep us away from transgressing the Isur Torah, the prohibition from the Torah, so they said we cannot eat Chometz from an hour earlier, 2 hours earlier, depending on if when we have to burn the chometz and so forth. But everyone agrees that the only prohibition does not start until almost midday the following day. So the Gemara says, "Nivdek b'shis," so it should be sufficient to search for the chometz the next day. Why do we have to search for the chometz the night before? Perhaps you'll say the reason is because we have a principle, zrizin magdimin lemitzvus. A person who's a zoris, who fulfills mitzvus with zeal, with enthusiasm, with alertness, so we have a principle that always you should try to fulfill a mitzvah at its earliest possible time. So therefore, perhaps this is the reason why you have to search for the chometz the night before. So the Gemara refutes that. The Gemara says if it's because of the reason of Zerizus, then this would be sufficient in the morning. Like we find by Avraham. It states, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, when Hashem came to Avraham, and he told him, go and sacrifice your only son Yitzchok. So Avraham the next day was up at the crack of dawn, even before sunrise, to start preparing for this trip. Avraham could have done it any time the next day. Why did he get up so early? Because Avraham was a Zoris. He fulfilled mitzvahs with a great zeal and enthusiasm, and then at the first possible moment. So we see that when it comes to this mitzvah of Zrizus, it's sufficient at the morning, but not even to precede it the night before. So therefore, why should we search for the chometz the night before? We could do it first thing in the morning. This is what the Gemara asks. I think Gemara continues with its discussion and gives other reasons why. One reason is because then we can use the light of the candle, and during the day it's difficult to use the light of the candle. It doesn't show so much. Another reason is people are in their homes. The Gemara continues with its discussion. But we see that the Gemara held that we could say the reason of the Mishnah is the reason that we inspect and search for the chometz the night before is because of the mitzvah of Zrizus. Zrizin magdimin le mitzvahs, that when you fulfill a mitzvah, you should fulfill it with a great enthusiasm. And this is why we do it at such an early time, even though it's really not necessary till the next noon. The Gemara held that would be a good pshat, that would be a good reason, if not for the question that we asked. Now, the principle of Zrizus is a principle that we find not only by searching for chometz. We find it by all mitzvahs. For example, the Gemara brings a braisa that states that kol hayom kula kosher lemilo, elish is rizi magdim lemitzvahs. The mitzvah of milo, you can do the entire day. You can do it in the afternoon, you can do it late afternoon, as long as you do it before night on the eighth day. Except the proper way to fulfill the mitzvah is first thing in the morning. This is a principle that we have by all mitzvahs. I recall many years ago learning this piece of Gemara with my Rebbe, who tells the Rosh Yeshiva of Mordechai Gifter. And he asked the question. Why does the Mishnah tell us here? This is a principle by all mitzvahs. This principle can be told to us any place by Mitzvahs Milor or by Shafer or by Lula. Why here does the Mishnah choose that it will tell us this mitzvah of Jesus? She said, from here we see that there must be some special link with this concept of Zrizus to Chometz, with this concept of Zrizus to Pesach. This is what he answered. And this is very true. There's a particular link to this concept of Zrizus with Pesach and with Chometz and with Matzah. And this evening, let's go into this. We find that we are instructed that whenever we fulfill a mitzvah, or whenever we study Torah, we are obligated to do it with a great zeal, with a great strength, with a great enthusiasm, with a great alertness. This is a principle in serving the Almighty. Where is one of the sources for this? This is a Mishnah in Masechet Ovos. The Mishnah states, in Masechet Ovos, Perikei, Mishnah Chof, Yehuda ben Tema Eimer. Yehuda ben Tema said, Hevi az kinomer, a person should be as courageous or as brazen as a leopard, the kal kanosha, and he should be as light as an eagle, rotz kitzvi, he should be as quick to run like a deer, v'gibor kari, and he should be as strong as a lion, la'aseis ritzein avicho shebishavayim, in order to fulfill the will of your Father in heaven. Four qualities are mentioned here. A person should be courageous and brazen. He should be light as an eagle. He should be as quick or run as a deer. And he should be as strong as a lion when he fulfills the will of the Almighty. Why is this necessary? The simple reason is, is because a person by nature does not fulfill the mitzvahs of the Almighty. A person by his nature, is a nature opposes him to fulfill the mitzvahs of the Almighty. And therefore, in order to overcome this nature, in order to break through it, so he needs all of these forces. He needs all of these abilities. Because when it comes to do mitzvahs, when it comes to study Torah, a person's nature is going to stand against him. He's going to have to overcome it. To overcome it, he will need all of these qualities. He will need courage and aggressiveness. He will need to be light as the eagle. He will need to be quick as the deer, and he will need to be as strong as the lion. But when we give thought to this, there's a deeper reason. We have to examine why is a person's nature opposed to his fulfilling Torah and mitzvahs. And the answer to that is because Torah and mitzvahs is actually contrary to the basic nature of man. Man was created from the earth. Ofer min Adoma, from the dust of the earth. This is the basic foundation of man. Torah, mitzvahs, that comes from the heaven. It comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the heaven. So it's very far from the basic foundation of man. And not only that, it's contrary. Because Torah and mitzvahs encompasses the essence of life, the highest level of life. Like it states, V'atem advekim Hashem elokeichem, chayim kulchem hayom. Those who cleave to the Almighty are cleaving to the source of life. The earth has no life in it. The earth is a daimim. The earth is an heaven, it's a stone. It's silent. It doesn't move. So the earth is the furthest thing from life which you can find. And if Torah requires a high level of life and a high level of spirit to fulfill it, then it's going to be very difficult with the basic nature of man that comes from a daimim, that comes from a silent, lifeless dust of the earth. Now man was given both this basic foundation from the earth and also by Yipach Ba'apov, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathed into his nostrils a living soul. So his soul can identify and yearns for Torah and mitzvahs. But the physical nature of man is just contrary to it. This is why, when it comes to study Torah, when it comes to fulfill mitzvahs, the nature of man tells him not to do it. The nature of man says, stay in one place, be silent, don't fulfill the mitzvah, don't study Torah. Because the physical nature is just contrary to the spiritual heights of Torah. Therefore, Yehuda ben Tema is telling us a very great instruction. When it comes to doing mitzvahs, when it comes to study Torah, it's going to take tremendous forces for the person to move himself. And he's going to have the greatest forces that we find in the world. He's going to be as kinomer, to awaken himself, to initiate action. He's going to have an aggressiveness. The greatest aggressiveness we find by the leopard. The Chazal tell us. Azus is by the leopard. That's an aggressiveness. It's a brazenness. It's a courage. Generally, people, when it comes to do a good thing, they don't respond immediately. They don't initiate themselves immediately. And that's the power of the earth in them. Because the earth is silent. And the earth doesn't move. So for a person to move himself, firstly he's going to have to be ma'ira, he's going to have to awaken himself. Now many times people don't want to move because they're just asleep. Many times people don't want to move because they're afraid to. Many times people don't want to move because they're ashamed to. Well, the quality of Azus eliminates all of this. If a person is ashamed, well, Azus is a brazenness. If a person is afraid, Azus is a courage. If a person is just sleeping, he's slumbering, the Azus is the aggressiveness. So the first thing Yehuda ben Tema said, Havi Az Kenomer. To move a person's self to the level where he can fulfill the will of the Almighty, first he's going to have to take the courage and the brazenness and the aggressiveness of the leopard. Once he's awakened himself and he's initiated himself for action, then he has to come to another level. Kal Kinesha. He's going to have to be as light as an eagle. What do we see in the eagle? The Chazal tell us the eagle flies higher than any other creature. Brings an example that all birds carry their young beneath them to protect them from birds flying over their heads. The eagle carries its young on its back because it's not afraid of birds flying overhead, because there's no bird that flies higher than it. It's only afraid of danger that might come from below. Therefore, it carries its young on its back. From the fact that the eagle can fly higher than any other creature, this means it has a kalus. The earth doesn't fly. Physical mass cannot fly by itself. From the fact that the eagle can fly, this means that it has a lightness in its physical mass. It has a tremendous motivation and a tremendous lightness in its physical mass, which enables it to fly higher than any other creature. This a person has to have. This means that the person who's imbued with a physical mass and a soul, if the physical mass is too heavy, then it smothers the soul, brings the soul down. If the greatest power is in the soul, then it will uplift the physical mass. And this is the next step you'll need when you come to fulfill Torah and mitzvahs. Therefore it states, Havikal Kinesha, you must take the quality of the eagle that uplifts himself, and the same with the person, in order to come to the level of Torah and mitzvahs. Then, once you're at that level, and now you're moving, and now your soul has freed itself from the heavy physical mass, now you have to go do the mitzvah. To go do the mitzvah, you need speed. So therefore it says, Rotz Kitzvi, the animal which moves the quickest is the deer. So Rotz Kitzvi, like it states by Naphtali, when they sent Naphtali, they had the 12 sons of Yaakov, and they had something that had to be done which required a lot of speed, they would send Naphtali. Ayola Shlucha. Naphtali was like a deer that could move extremely quickly. Now this shows, again, this is contrary to the chemer, to the physical mass of person. Because the earth does not move. There is no movement in the earth. And the fact that the deer can move so quickly, this shows in his gabrus ha-nefesh al-achema. This shows that the life spark that's imbued in him overpowers his physical mass more than any other animal. So therefore Yehuda ben Tema said, you'll have to be rotz kitzvi, move quickly to where you have to go to fulfill the mitzvah. And then he said, Begibor Kari, once it comes to actually doing the mitzvah, you must do it with a great strength, with a great force. You must take the gvura of the Ari, the strength of the lion, which is the strongest of all of the animals. So therefore Yehuda ben Tema said, Havi az kinomer, you should be as courageous and brazen as a leopard, kal kineshen, as light as an eagle, Rotz Kisvi, as quick as a deer, and Gibor Kaari, and as strong as a lion. Lasa Yisrotzein Avichu Shebeshomayim, when it comes to fulfill the will of your Father in heaven. So we see here that mitzvahs, if they are to be performed properly, and if a person is going to uplift himself to the level of Torah and mitzvahs, It must be with tremendous forces. Otherwise, he'll be shackled and smothered by the chemer, by the physical foundation of man, and he will not come to the level of mitzvahs at all. This is what Yehuda ben Tema is teaching us. On the other hand, what happens if a person does not overcome this physical mass, like unfortunately so many times happens and we see in the world so much? So from there comes qualities such as Rifu Yodayim. Torah many times speaks about Rifu Yodayim, when a person becomes weak to do a good thing. Or for example, Israshlus. Israshlus means he became he was resigned not to undertake it. This is what Israshlus means. He's confronted with an undertaking and he decides it's too difficult. See, Israshlus, he's resigned to the fact it's too difficult, he won't do it. Or Atzlus. Atzlus is a sluggishness, a laziness. Or Atzvus. Atzvus is a depression, a despondency. These are all qualities that come from his physical nature, which comes from the earth. Or even further, if this nature overpowers him, then all other types of desires which come from this nature will overpower him. Therefore, when a person is confronted with a mitzvah, with Torah, then the leader must be the spark which the Almighty imbued in him. That must lead and draw the body after it. And then he'll come to level of Torah and mitzvahs. And that can only lead if he frees himself from the body, if he frees himself from the yoke of the body, to the point where the spirit is the leader and the body becomes the servant. And that can only be with these tremendous powers that Yehuda ben Tema said, the Azus and the Kalus and the Ritzo, the Rots and the Gvura. But on the other hand, if he fails to do this, then we find a situation where a person is pessimistic, a person is resigned that it's too difficult, a person becomes despondent. This is known as kfeidas hateva. He becomes heavy. Heavy because of his physical nature. The earth doesn't move. And man will not move and he will not uplift himself. This is a description of what the sages mean when mitzvahs must be fulfilled with zrizus. Or for example, they say zrizi magdimin le mitzvahs. When it comes to a mitzvah, do it immediately. Or for example, they say kahanim zrizim hein. The kahanim, when they fulfilled mitzvahs, they did it with a great alertness and a great zeal. The Gemara in Masechet Brachos and Avov Amud Beis Mora brings Omar Ev Chelboi, Omar Ev Huna. Chelbe said in the name of Ev Huna, Ayetzi mi beis haknesses, when a person leaves shul, al yafsi psi gasu, not allowed to take big steps. Usually when we leave shul, we're in a hurry.
So everybody runs. Not allowed to. Why? So Rashi says, Lefisha Marabats, Meshi Ikav Besaknes, Deima Lorke Masri. Because he's illustrating that Shul is holding him back from doing something more important. That till now he was busy with Shul, and now he has more important things to do. So he runs from Shul. See, and that's not covered. That's not honoring the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shul is more important than other things. Therefore, when a person goes out of Shul, even if he's in a hurry, he's supposed to walk slowly. Till he gets away from the Shul, all right, then he can hurry. Omer Abaya. So Abaya said, Le'amrin le'lemekev, av le'me'al, mitzvah le'merit. This is only when he leaves Shul. But what about when he's coming to Shul? Then it's a mitzvah to hurry. Shne'mar, near the fall, das es Hashem. It says that a person should run. A person should hurry to know the Almighty. When it comes to walk away from a mitzvah, then he's supposed to walk away slowly. Otherwise it looks like the mitzvah is in his way. But when it comes to going to a mitzvah, then he's supposed to hurry. Omer Reb Zeira said, Mereish ki avachazinu l'rabonin dekoroiti l'pirke b'shabato. Reb Zeira said that I used to think, when I would see the rabbonon, they had what was known, the pirke, they would have a shir on Shabbos, Shabbos afternoon or Shabbos morning, there would be a shir. And he used to see the rabbonon, he used to see the talmidim hurrying to the shir. They were taking a psir gaso. Psir gaso means they were taking big steps. They were hurrying to the shir. So Reb Zeira said that I used to think that when I saw this, Amina Kumarhalin Rabbonin Shabbato. I used to think that the Rabbon and the Talmidim were desecrating Shabbos. Why? Because it states that on Shabbos, Al Tafsir Psir Gaso. A person on Shabbos is not allowed to hurry. A person on Shabbos, just as he's supposed to dress differently, and he's supposed to eat differently, he's supposed to walk differently also. A person on Shabbos is not allowed to hurry. So Reb Zeira says that when I used to see the Talmidim, the disciples, running to a shir, hurrying to a shir on Shabbos, I used to say, the Kumachalin and Abon Shabbat, they desecrate in Shabbos. Even the Shaminu Lord Reb Tanchum, Omer Mishu ben Levi, Leilom Yorutz Odom Lidvar Mitzvah, Afilu B'Shabbos. When I heard, though, that Reb Tanchum said in the name of Mishu ben Levi that a person should always run to a mitzvah, he should hurry to a mitzvah, even on Shabbos, because it says, Acharei Hashem Yilechu Ka'ari Yishog. So Anan Amir Itna. So then I understood that I also should hurry to a shir on Shabbos. So this is what the Gemara is telling us. When it comes to doing things in this world, then a person should do it the way the world was created. And he should not take a psia gaso. In general, the Gemara tells us that psia gaso, big steps, that means to hurry. Mora says it's not healthy. Mora says it's not healthy for a person to hurry. This is contrary to our whole society. The fact is, the Gemara says that if a person always hurries, it will eventually affect the light of his eyes. See, it will affect his eyesight. It's not good to hurry, the Gemara says. Person, the world was not created, man was not created where everything he does should be under pressure. Running here and running there. That's not how man functions at his best. So therefore the Gemara says, Al tafsi psia gasu. Don't take big steps. Don't rush yourself. What you do, do with your mind, do with your thoughts. Don't overrush yourself. Shabbos, for sure you're not allowed to rush yourself. Why? Because Shabbos was the shviso. Shabbos was when the world stopped. 6 days the Almighty did malocha. He did work. The seventh day he rested. So Shabbos, you're supposed to rest. Certainly you're not allowed to rush yourself. That's why Shabbos you have to walk slowly. States that your walking should be differently. Your mannerism should be differently. But that's all when it comes in regards to worldly things. This is what the Gemara is telling us. When it comes to a mitzvah, when it comes to study Torah, there you must hurry yourself.
Why? Because what we said. Because there a man cannot act in accordance to the physical creation of the world. If he acts in accordance to the physical creation of the world, he'll never come to the mitzvah. He'll never come to the Torah. The Torah is at a much higher level than that. And in order to reach that level, that can only come through great forces, through the forces of Ashkenomer, to be as brazen as a leopard, or Kalkanesher, as light as the eagle, or Rotskitzvi, as quick as the deer, or Gibor Kari, as strong as the lion. So this is what he says, when you walk away from Shul, if you hurry, the Gemara doesn't bring a prohibition on it generally. The Gemara just says it's not healthy. It gives us good advice. See, it's going to, it's kin cholila, shorten a person's health and life. So you shouldn't hurry. To hurry away from Shul, that's an Aveira. Because what are you showing? You're showing that Shul took up some valuable time and now you have to go and make it up. While Shul's giving you life. So you must not hurry away from Shul. Shabbos, to hurry on Shabbos, that's an Aveira, koma halalin on Shabbos, that's desecrating the Kiddush of Shabbos. But that's all when it comes to things in this world. But if you're going to fulfill something which is higher than this world, to reach that, you're going to have tremendous strength and forces. So you're going to have to move fast and move with zeal and enthusiasm. Otherwise you won't reach it. That's why they said that's only away from Shul. But coming to Shul, there you have to move fast. Because you're moving into a higher stratum, a higher plane. Coming to a Shir, there you can move fast. And even on Shabbos. Even on Shabbos. Why? Because even though Shabbos is the time when the world rested, it was only the physical world. Spiritual world did not rest on Shabbos. How do we know that? The proof of that is because the Gemara says, Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan. Actually, it's a question in the Gemara, on what day was Torah given? On what day the Shavuos come? The 6th of Sivan, on the 7th of Sivan, is a question in the Gemara. We celebrated on the 6th of Sivan. But the Gemara says everyone agrees that it was on Shabbos. Torah was given on Shabbos. So we see the greatest spiritual manifestations in the world took place on Shabbos. This is to teach us that the physical world rests on Shabbos. Therefore, we have to rest from all physical work and physical achievements, but not spiritually. The spirit still lives on Shabbos. Therefore, on Shabbos, if it's to advar reshus, if it's something which is not spiritual, you must not hurry. But if it's to the Shir, this is what he thought. He says, I used to think, and Reb Zeira said, I used to think when I would see the disciples running to the Shir on Shabbos, I thought they were desecrating Shabbos, but later on I understood that that's a mitzvah. See, here again we see this concept of Zrizus. The Gemara brings in Mesech the Nozir a further example, and this is to teach us. This is a Daf Chof Gimel Seif Amad Beis. Gemara teaches us, if two people do a mitzvah, same mitzvah, one does it with a great enthusiasm and with a great zeal, and the other one does it with sleepily. He does it with sluggishness, without enthusiasm. We shouldn't think that both are fulfilling the same mitzvah. It becomes two different mitzvahs, even though both did the same. What it brings, Omer b'chiyah barabin, Omer b'shu ben korcho, l'eilom yadim odem l'dvar mitzvah, a person, if he has the opportunity to do a mitzvah, he should always do it as soon as he can. He shouldn't say, the Torah said, do this mitzvah. I have, like we learned before, I have the whole day to do it, so I can do it later. Or the Torah said, do this mitzvah. And this mitzvah has no particular time. I can do it today, I can do it tomorrow, I can do it a week from now, so I'll do it later. No. Le'elom yagdim odem le'dvar mitzvah. A person should always do what he can to fulfill the mitzvah as earliest as possible. Why? She'bishar layla achas. She'kod maso bechira le'tzi'iro. Zoch so ve'kod ma'ar bedeiris bi'Yisrael. The Torah tells us the story of Lot, Avram's nephew, that when Hashem, the Almighty, decided to destroy Sodom and Amorah, and Lot lived there together with his family, and he also should have been destroyed. But Avraham was mispalel, prayed to the Almighty, so in the schus of Avraham, through the merit of Avraham, Lot and his family were saved. And Lot left with his two daughters, his oldest daughter and his youngest. They ran to a cave in the mountains, and there they stayed. And they thought, when they saw all of the destruction and devastation, they thought that another flood, another destruction had come upon the entire world. The entire world was lost. So therefore, the two daughters, the older one said to the younger one, "Let us go give wine to our father." There happened to be, and this was through the Hashkocha of Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had planned this, that there happened to be a jug of wine in the cave. "Let us give our father wine and we'll make him drunk. And then tonight I will go and sleep together with him. And tomorrow night you should do the same. And we will have children from him. And this way the world will be saved and it will not be desolate." And even though they were mistaken, the world was not destroyed. It was only the Sodom and Amorah in that entire area. But nevertheless, the Gemara says this was a mitzvah. Their intentions were good, and this was a mitzvah. They had two children. The son of the older one, she named Moab, which means he came from my father. And the younger one named her son Ammon, which means Ben Ami, for my nation. Now we find that eventually both of these nations found their way into Israel, Moab and Ammon, even though Moab and Ammon were wicked nations and they warred against Israel and they gave a lot of tzoras to Israel. And the Almighty even decreed in the Torah that their sons shall not convert into Israel. But nevertheless, we find that their daughters did come into Israel. And it states at the end of Rus, Rus was from the nation of Moab. Let me just find it. Ruth was from the nation of Moab. She was Megayer. She converted herself. And she married Boaz. And she had a child who was called Obed. And at the end of Sefer Rus it states, Obed holied as Yishai. Obed gave birth to Yishai. V'Yishai holied as David. And Yishai gave birth to David. And David then gave birth to Shlomo. So this means that the son of Rus, which was the descendant of Moab, the descendant of the older daughter, came into Israel four generations by Shlema HaMelech. The first one to come into Israel from that line was Oved, then Yishai, then David, and then Shlomo. Now the younger daughter also had a descendant that eventually came into Israel. And this was Rehoboam ben Shlomo, the son of Shlomo, the son of King Solomon. Shebo mina Oma ha'amenis. Oma was a daughter from Ammon, a descendant from Ammon, and she married Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, and they had a son called Rehoboam. So eventually this line also came into Israel, but it came in four generations later. The descendant, the first male descendant of Moab to come into Israel, was the son of Ruth, Oved. The first male descendant of Ammon, of the younger daughter to come into Israel, was Rehoboam, the son of Shlomo. So there were four generations difference. The older one had a son that eventually converted and became into Israel, or eventually was born into Israel, and this was Oved, Ruth's son. Oved, Yishai, David, and Shlomo. Four generations later, Rehoboam, the son of the younger sister, came into Israel. So the Gemara says that we see that the older one was Zecha, she merited to come into Israel four generations earlier than the younger one. Why? You know why the Gemara says? Because she fulfilled the mitzvah one night before the younger one. So from here the Gemara says, Omar Reb Chiya bar Abi, Omar Reb Shua ben Korcho, La'elam yadim odem lidvar mitzvah. A person has an opportunity to do a mitzvah, he should always do it as soon as possible. Because in the reward of one night that the older one fulfilled the mitzvah before the younger one, zochs of a kodma arbedeiris b'Israel, she came into Israel four generations earlier. So first, four generations is a great span of time, but it's more than that. The Maral writes in his Nesiv HaZrizus, what does it mean, why four generations? He says, we're not only speaking of time here. Four generations is considered a complete cycle in life. We find that people are identified. A father is identified with his son. He's identified with his grandson. He's identified with his great-grandchildren. We don't find people to become identified with great-great-grandchildren. There's a father, there's a grandfather, there's a great-grandfather. That's a unit. People should be zeich and live to see great-grandchildren. That's a unit. Great-great-grandchildren, that we don't find. That's another cycle. And that's why in the Torah it states, for example, he brings several examples. One example, Peked Oven Oves Albonim Al Shleshim Valderbeim. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that he will hold responsible the iniquities, the averus of the fathers on their children, on their grandchildren, and on their great grandchildren. That's all. That's considered one unit. So we're speaking more than just time alone. From the fact that the older daughter fulfilled the mitzvah one night before a younger daughter, she came into Israel four generations before the younger daughter. That means that it was a different thing altogether. It was a different cycle. What do we see from here? Two people fulfilled the same mitzvahs, exactly the same mitzvahs. But they were totally different. Totally different. One was on a level that would come into Israel four generations, in other words, a complete life cycle before the other. Why? Because one fulfilled the mitzvah with zizus, with zeal, and with power, and the other it did not. So therefore we must realize that when you do a mitzvah with Zrizus and you do the same mitzvah without Zrizus, it's a different mitzvah altogether. And according to what we've explained, it's self-evident. Because the one who's doing it with Zrizus, he is reaching levels of the mitzvah. While the one who is not doing that with that Zrizus, he fails to reach these levels. We have another similar example of this, which we've quoted in the past, by the Nesim, the princes of Israel. After the building of the Mishkan, it states in Parashat Vayakel, "Vanesim heviu asav de Hashem veisav ne meluim leifen velacheshem." This is in Parashat Vayakel, Lamed Hei, Posuchov Zayin. That the Nesim, the leaders of each shevet, of each tribe, they brought these shoham stones and the other precious stones for the gowns, for the robe, and for the breastplate. And they brought the balsam, ashomen, lamor, and they brought the incense and the perfumes for the light and for the k'teres hasamim, for the incense. After everything was brought, they brought. So Rashi asks from the Chazal, "Maro nesim nisnadu b'chanukas b'zbeach b'tchila malachas ha'mishkan nisnadu b'tchila ela b'seif." Here they brought for the building of the Mishkan at the end. When it came to the, they were the first ones to bring their sacrifices. Why? Because when Moshe said, "This is what we need. Everyone whose heart uplifts him should come and contribute." So the Nesim said, "Let everyone give first, and whatever is lacking, we will fill in." So they stood on the sidelines, everyone brought, and by the time they finished bringing, there was nothing left for them to bring, because so much was brought. So therefore, the only things they could bring were these things. When it came time to dedicate the Mishkan, so they didn't want this to happen again, so therefore they were the first ones. Now the word Nesim is written without a letter. It should be written Nun Sin Yud Aleph, and it's written without the Yud. So Rashi brings from the sages, Ulefishin is Atzlu Mitchilo Nechsra Eis Mishmom Vanesim Ksiv. That since they were nisatzlu, since they were slow, they were sluggish, they were remiss, they didn't act with zeal to be the first ones to bring, Kodesh Baruch Hu took a letter out of their name. He took the Yud. Now what does this all mean? I mean, it seems that it was a very good thing that they said. They said, "Let many times you have a project like that, the city wants to build something. Wants to build a shul, wants to build a home for the aged, wants to build a yeshiva. So someone will say, let everybody give as much as they can, and whatever you're lacking, I will give the rest. I will underwrite the rest. That's a very good undertaking." So what was wrong with the Nesim? The answer is this is true, that's a good undertaking. But that's not leadership. Leadership means to be in front, not behind. There's leadership and there's a rear guard. That's good for the rear guard. That they'll pick up anything that's missing, anything that's left behind. But leadership means you have to be in the front. And the Nesim were Malachim, they were kings. They should have been the first ones to give, you know, in order that others would follow. Because they didn't do that, it showed that they lacked in leadership. They lacked in initiative. There are many, many projects, wonderful projects and mitzvahs that never take off because the initiative lacked. This is the Avi'az Kinomer. The courage lacked. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that this was a good calculation, but it was not. It didn't come from the right source. It lacked an initiative. Well, if Isha Nisashru, Nisatzlu, so therefore, since they were sluggish in fulfilling this, Kodesh Baruch Hu took a letter out of their name. Now, it's interesting to note, what letter did he take out of their name? He took the Yud. Why? Because it states that the Almighty created the world, this world and the next world, with two letters of his name, the Yud and the He. Ki b'yud kei tzur elomim. With the Yud, he created the world to come, the spiritual world. And with the He, he created the physical world. Because the Nesim lacked this initiative to do a mitzvah, so we see that they were lacking. The power of the spirit was minimized in them. And the physical power had overcome them. Therefore, the Almighty took out the Yud from the name. Took out the Yud. Because the power of the spirit had become minimized. On Pesach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, that Yisrael are my servants. This is what the Almighty said on Pesach. In Parshas Mishpotim, in Parshas Chof Aleph, Posuk Vov, Vihigishu Adonav El Alehim, Vihigishu Al Adeles Al Amezuzah, Verotza Adonav Es Oznei B'matzea, B'matzea V'avode La'ilum. If you have a person who's a slave, a Jewish man, who's a slave, so the deen is, the law is, that he shall work for 6 years, and on the seventh year he goes free. What happens if on the seventh year he says, "Bim Omar, Omar Yemar, whoever or aftias Adoni as Ishti Vesbonai." He says to his master that I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children. Le etze chofshi, I do not want to go free. So the master shall take him to the Bezdin, and they shall put him next to a door, next to the door, or next to the doorpost. And they shall bore, the master shall bore in his ear a hole, and he shall serve forever, which means to the yovel, till the 50th year. So the sages ask, why must they bore a hole in his ear? So Rashi brings, because Maro as Ozen Lihotzea Mikol Share Vorim Shabaguf. Why the ear? Omer Behman Zakai. Ozen Zov Shishoma Hasina Litigne Vola Vagonev Teratzea. This ear that heard on Mount Sinai that a person should not steal, and he went and stole, bore a hole in it. Why? Because how does a person become a slave? One of the ways is if he steals and he does not have money to pay back. So then the Beis Din can sell him as a slave in order to pay back the debt of stealing. This is what is known as a Machru Beis Din. That Beis Din sold him as a slave, and this is the only time Beis Din can sell a person as a slave, if he steals and he cannot pay back. So then the sages asked, but there's another way a person can become a slave. If he sells himself, and still if he wants to work longer, you bore a hole in his ear. Why then? He didn't steal. So this Rashi brings, and this also the ik v'im meicher atzmai ozen shishom al Har Sinai, the ear that heard on Har Sinai ki libene Yisrael avodim v'holach v'kono oden la'atzmai teratzeah. The ear that heard, when the Almighty said, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, that b'nei Yisrael are my slaves, and they shall not be servants to others. And he went and sold himself as a servant to others, bore a hole in his ear. So we see that on Pesach was the time the Almighty came and he said, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim. They are my slaves, avodaihem v'lei avodim l'avodim, and not slaves to other slaves. This was the chelus. This is the freedom. A person who's a slave to another slave, he is serving a physical power. Not only if a person is a slave to another slave is he serving a physical power, but even a person who is a slave to himself is also serving a physical power. In actuality, and this is something that the world doesn't realize, there is no difference between being a slave to another slave, being a slave to another physical human being, or being a slave to oneself. There's no difference. In both cases, you're not a free man. You know, the world always talks about freedom, about liberties. In Torah concept, there's no difference in a man who serves another slave, who serves another physical master, or is enslaved to himself. In both situations, he is a slave. Why? Because freedom means where a person frees himself from all physical forces. There's no difference if the force is an external force or the force is an internal force. There's no difference if a man must do something because he has a master over himself, or if he must do something because he's a slave to himself. In both cases, he's enslaved. If the spirit, if the soul of man is free, then he's a free man. He's a master. If the soul of man is not free, then he's a slave. And there's no difference who he's the slave to. Another person or himself. And this is a concept that the world has difficulty to understand. World feels that if you have no other physical master over yourself, then you're a free man. Are you free? Who's dictating policy to you? You know who's dictating policy to you? The earth, the chomer, the physical mass that's in man becomes your taskmaster and is forcing you and dictating you every day what to do. See, you're the same slave that you were before you were freed. Perhaps you're even a worse slave. The concept of freedom in the Torah of Chayrus is where a person's spirit frees itself from the chomer, from the physical foundation of man, from the earth that's in man. The spirit becomes the master, and the earth in man, that becomes the servant. Then man is free. This is what happened on Pesach. This is what happened on the Chag HaChirus by Klal Yisrael. And this was in particular so by Egypt. Because when Israel were Meshubed, when they were enslaved to Egypt, Egypt is the most physical of all the nations, the Torah tells us. Ki besoram sar chamorim. The prophet said that their flesh are like flesh of donkeys. And the donkey is called a chamor from the word chomer. There is, just like we find that you have the deer, which is so quick, and you have the eagle, which is so light, and you have the leopard, which is so aggressive, and the lion, which is so strong, the donkey is the slowest and most sluggish of all of the animals. He's just the opposite extreme. And why is that? Because he has the greatest physical mass in ratio to his intellectual and spiritual power than any other animal. This is why the world always says, talks about the stubborn, stupid donkey. This is an expression that doesn't come from nowhere. But this is why his name is Hamor. Loshon HaKodesh in Hebrew, his name is Hamor. And Hamor comes from the word Chomer, and Chomer means physical mass, and he has the greatest ratio of physical mass over his other abilities. This is not a criticism, this is the way he was created. The criticism is a man who was not created that way. And the prophet called Egypt Besorim Kipsar Hamorim, that their flesh are like the flesh of donkeys, because Egypt sank into greater physical depths than any other nation. In general, the sages tell us that Egypt was a very lazy land. Why was it a lazy land? It was a land you didn't have to work, because it had the Nile River, and the Nile River used to overflow, and they had a massive irrigation system, and it would water the whole country. It was Kigan Hashem, states that Egypt was like the garden of Hashem. So the most beautiful, next to Eretz Yisrael, states Egypt was the most beautiful country in the world. And people didn't have to do anything. By nature, it was a lazy land. They didn't even have to be mispalo for rain. They didn't have to pray for rain. It wasn't dependent on rains. It was dependent on the Nile River. And they were shtufim, bezimo, ubeteivo. They sunk into the lowest depths of depravity. There was kishu, sorcery. There was all types of te'eva, abominations. Mara tells us there were deviations and homosexualities and so forth. This was Egypt. And this is why they were illustrated as the hamor, as the donkey. Klal Yisrael were just the opposite. It states Yisrael azim shebu umas. They're the most aggressive of all the nations, the Gemara in Masechta Beitza said. The most aggressive of all of the nations. They were the most spiritual of all of the nations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to give the Torah, every nation ran away, they didn't want anything to do with it. When it came to Yisrael, they said, Nasiv Nishma, we will do. Immediately they said, we will do, without even hearing what it was. Because by nature, they had freed themselves from the physical foundation, and they were led by the Spirit. This is what the Gemara means. Azin Sheba Umesh, they were the most aggressive nation of all of the nations. So for them to be enslaved to the nation of Egypt, this was a great depth. See? They sunk to a great level for this. And this is what took place. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and freed them, so this was the illustration of the spirit freeing itself from the physical forces of the world. And he said, Avodaihem, Vele Avodim Lavodim, Klal Yisrael will no longer be slaves to any forces in the world. They will be only slaves to me. He redeemed them from the strongest physical forces of the world, where they could be totally free from all such forces, be it external or internal. Then they could come and be my slaves. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim. If you want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you cannot serve any man. To serve the Almighty, you have to be free from all men and from all forces. So first the Almighty freed Klal Yisrael, and then he said, now they are capable of serving me. This is what took place on Pesach. And this is why it states that when Parai told the midwives, he said that if you see that it's a son, then you must put it to death when you're giving birth. And they refused to listen. And when he came and he said, why don't you listen? So they answered him and they said, this is in Parsha Shmos. They answered him and they said, Pasuk Yud Ches Shmos Aleph Vatomanam Yaldis El Parei Kilecha Noshim Amitzriyos O Yivriyos. The midwives answered Parei and they said that the Egyptian women are not like the Hebrew women. The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. Ki Choyos Heino. Now the little translation of Choyos means midwives. They're midwives. Beterem Tove Alein Am Yaledes V'Yolodu. They themselves are midwives. Before we come to them, they've already given birth. Pari didn't instruct them to kill the child once it gave birth. He instructed them that as giving birth, don't allow her to be born alive. So they said they're like midwives. Before we come to them, they don't need us. Before they come to us, they've already given birth. So the Gemara asks, what does it mean that they're like midwives? So the Gemara uses the word choyes from the word chayo. They're like the wild life in the field. A domesticated animal needs help to give birth. The farmer, the shepherd, or the shepherd must help them. The wildlife doesn't need any help. So that's what they said. Ki choyes heino, they're like the wildlife. They're not like the Egyptian women. The Egyptian women are like the domesticated animals. They give birth very slowly. But our women are like the wildlife of the fields. They give birth so quickly that before we come, the child's already born. And why is this? Why is it that the wildlife doesn't need any midwives? The domesticated animal, where his physical counterpart is much stronger, so life comes much slower to it. Therefore, it needs the help of the shepherd. The wildlife, where you see that its physical counterpart is much lighter, this life spirit in it is stronger, therefore life comes much quicker to it. And therefore, they don't need any assistance. So they answered Paro and they said that the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. Egyptian women are like the domesticated animals, like the chamor, the donkey. Life comes slowly to it. And therefore, they need midwives. But the Hebrew women are like kachayos heino. They're like the wildlife. They're like the deer. They're like the eagle. They're like the lion. Like the leopard. Where the spirit of life overpowers the physical mass, frees itself from the physical mass. Therefore, they give birth quickly. And before we come, they've already given birth. And there's a great depth in this. They weren't just talking to Parai. See, I mean, they had hit the nail on the head. This is why the Gemara says, Bishchus ha-noshim ha-tzidkonios nigolu Yisrael mi-mitzrayim. It was through the schus of the righteous women that Israel were redeemed from Egypt. Because they had this quality of freedom in themselves. If a man is enslaved to physical forces, then he's a slave. Irregardless where these physical forces come from. If a man frees himself from his own physical forces, then he rises to be a master, a free man. And this was imbued in the women of Egypt, the women of the Israeli women, the Hebrew women in Egypt. Therefore, on Pesach, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and he taught this concept to Klal Yisrael, and they came to the heights of freeing themselves from all physical forces to the point where they're totally free of themselves, they were totally free of Egypt, and they became, went even on to higher heights where they became free from the forces of the world, because we see through the great miracles which took place that even the forces of nature could not stop their going out of Egypt. And this is the concept of Chayrus, of Geula, of redemption at its highest level. And this is the beginning of the Avoda, this is the beginning of serving the Almighty. At this point he said, Avodai Haim, you are now capable of serving me. Belei Avodim La'Avodim, you are no longer servants to other servants. This is what Pesach identifies itself with. So this is the Sheirish, this is the source of Zrizus. Because Zrizus is when a person comes to serve the Almighty, he must break through all physical forces, be it internal or external, that stand against him. Otherwise he will not come to the level of mitzvahs and Torah. And this was first done, and it was perfected through the Geula, through the redemption of Egypt, from Egypt. This is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you are now my servants. And therefore when Yehuda ben Tamar said, you know how you have to serve Avicha Shebishamayim, your father in heaven, you have to serve him with all of these resources, with all of these forces. Where is its source? Its source was the Geula, the redemption of Egypt. And this is why we find on Pesach, in general, we find a theme where everything had to be done with a quickness. For example, it states in Parshas Bo, in Parshas Bo, Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, it states, V'kocho teichlu eisoi, how should you eat the Korban Pesach? Mosnechem chagurim, that you should have your loins girded. Na'alechem beraglechem, you should have your walking shoes on. Your boots on, makelchem b'yedchem, you should have your walking sticks in your hands. V'chaltem eisoi b'chifozeim, you should eat it with a great hurriedness, because Pesach hu l'Hashem, because it's the Korban Pesach to Hashem. And the same thing we find a little later. It states that why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did they eat matzos? They eat matzos because lo yuchal ispameya, because they could not tarry, because they hurried out of Egypt. And it states be'etzem ayom azeh, when it came to the time to take them out of Egypt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not wait keheref ayin, he did not wait the flick of an eyelid, but he took them out immediately with a great force. And it states Biyod Ramo, that Klal Yisrael went out, and Eid Yisrael Yotzim Biyod Ramo, that Klal Yisrael went out with a great and strong hand. So we see the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim and everything that went with it, right, was done with a force and a speed. Because what was it? What was it doing? It was freeing the spirit from the physical world. And therefore this has to be with a great force and a great speed. And even further, it states, Ushmatim es ha-matzois, you shall guard the matzois. So Rashi brings, Omar Rabbi Yeshio, that al tikre matzois ele mitzvos, you should guard the matzois. It doesn't only mean that you should guard the matzois from becoming chometz, but you should guard all mitzvahs from becoming chometz. Mikan mitzvah boleyodei tekayemu biyad al tachmitzene biyodei. A mitzvah that comes into your hands, you should fulfill it immediately. Don't let it become chometz. Now what does this mean? Because the whole concept of matzos is something that is done with a great speed and free from physical forces. Because matzos, where you take grain and you grind it into flour and you mix it with water, and bread is where you take grain and you grind it into flour and you mix it into water. What's the difference between the two? There's no difference. Yeast does not play any role in the difference between matzah and chometz. The only difference is that when you knead the flour and the water, by matzah must be baked immediately. This is what is meant by shomaltem es ha-matzois, guard the matzois, that it's baked immediately in order that it will not rise. Chometz, you set aside, you leave it rise, and then you bake it. That's chometz. Matzah is free from the forces of nature. Forces of nature, the forces of time, works in the matzah. It influences this dough to rise. Matzah is free of it. Torah says, Shomaltem, see that it's free of it. It shouldn't become chometz. Chometz is given over to the forces of nature in order that nature influences it to become chometz. This the Torah didn't want, because everything was done with a speed in order that it should free itself from physical forces. Therefore, we were given the mitzvah matzah. And this Rabbi Yeshua said, Shmartem es ha-matzois. It says matzois in the Torah, but matzois and mitzvahs are spelled the same way. This is not only a principle in matzois, this is a principle in mitzvahs also. That mitzvahs also, you must be careful that they do not become chometz. How can a mitzvah become chometz? He says, if you have a mitzvah that's supposed to be done now, and you say it'll be done later when I have time, it becomes chometz. Why? Because instead of the mitzvah being beyond the physical forces, you are bringing it down to be influenced by physical forces. And therefore you're going to make it chometz. And this is contrary to the whole principle of matzah, the whole principle of Cherus, which brought Klal Yisrael to the level of serving the Almighty. Near the full states. A person wants to go and serve the Almighty, he has to go with a great zeal to uplift himself from the physical world to the spiritual world. Otherwise it will become chometz. And the identification of Avodas Hashem is Pesach and Matzah, not chometz. So this is what is meant, that when you serve the Almighty, it must be done with a tremendous force. As kinomer, as courageous as a leopard. Because if not, there'll be no initiation, a person will be asleep, or he'll be afraid, or he'll be ashamed. Kal kinesher, his soul has to soar like the eagle. If an eagle was heavy, he would fall to the ground. If a person is heavy, he'll also fall to the ground, like the chamor, like the donkey. So the soul must soar, he must be kal kinesher. Rotz kitzvi, and now he goes and he does the mitzvah. He must be with a great strength and speed, like the deer. This is a sign of the life in the deer, because the physical mass doesn't move. The gibor kari, and when he does the mitzvah, he's going to have to be as strong as a lion. Now these are, Yehuda ben Tema is not merely giving us advice. He's saying these are prerequisites. These are prerequisites, la'aseis v'tzeinu shel avicha shebishamayim, to fulfill the will of the Almighty. Without it, you cannot fulfill the will of the Almighty. Because it's the spirit that will fulfill the will, not the physical forces in man, the physical mass. So to break through this and to free his spirit, in order that his spirit should become the master, these are the forces that he needs. Otherwise, what happens? You get despondency, you get Rifu Yodayim, where a person becomes weak. You get pessimism. You speak to people, they give you 100 reasons why this shouldn't be done. 100, 200 reasons. They become go'onim when it comes to reasons why something good shouldn't be done. See? You never thought they had such intellectual ability. They can speak so logically. You get atzlus. You get depression. See? You get atzvish, you get sadness. Or you get everything else that comes from the earth and man. And this was Egypt. And this is Pesach, this was Mitzrayim. So now we can understand very well. The Gemara said, why should you search for the leaven, for the chometz, the night of the 14th? Chometz doesn't become prohibited till the next noon. Why so early? So the Gemara thought it would be perhaps because of Zrizus Magdimil Mitzvahs, to show us the mitzvah of Zrizus. But the mitzvah of Zrizus is by everything. Why did the Mishnah choose to show it here? Because Pesach is the source. Pesach is the source where Klal Yisrael, with this tremendous force, freed themselves from all of the physical forces internally and externally in order to serve Avichu Shebishamayim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ki avodi, avodim yis, ki li avodim Yisrael, they are my servants, not servants to other servants, but my servants. Only he who is free from other men, who is free from forces within himself, can come to serve me. This is the Chag Cheruseinu, the Chag HaGeula. We should all be zeicha to reach heights of Cherus in Geula and have a freilicha and a kosher Pesach.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.